2 Samuel chapter 16. And let's begin reading in verse 5. I would ask for you to give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Verse 5. Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also, Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. But the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all of his servants, see how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone, and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up dust. Now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. We are promised a blessing in the reading of God's word, or as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer this afternoon is that God would bless the reading and the hearing and the application of his perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, our setting in 2 Samuel 16 is on the road, fleeing from Jerusalem. Remember, Absalom has claimed the throne, and David has basically given it to him without a fight. We've noted the lack of wisdom continually, repeatedly with David throughout these particular encounters. But we've also noted some good qualities at times. This week, we'll focus on the patience and the mercy of David in this particular trial. And I think these are some good things we can point out in David's character. In this particular passage before us, David shows great knowledge, and he shows wisdom in his dealing with Shimei. The Christian, I believe, is challenged by this particular passage to be wise and to be merciful in the face of those who curse us. This is not something we're unfamiliar with in our passage that's before us. We may not be a king, and we may not be abandoning our kingdom, as we see with David. But we know a little bit about having enemies of the church. We know a little bit about those who curse our God. And I think there are a lot of applications that we can make in our passage. Let's turn first of all to verse 5, and let's note the enemy that has arisen now against David. Verse 5, now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, So right away, you probably figure someone from the house of Saul probably doesn't like David very much. Okay, so this is verse 5. Now his name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continually as he came. And he threw stones at David, and all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So that's the setting of our passage that we come to. Our text begins, basically, I didn't read the first four verses because of time, but just a bit of review. We left off with Ziba last week. Remember, on the road away from Jerusalem, David runs into Ziba. Remember, he was the servant of Mephibosheth, and he came and he lied to David about Mephibosheth. Remember, the discussion we had last week was that David stumbled with Ziba's lie because David was covenanted to Mephibosheth. And so that gave us an opportunity to consider how careful we are with our covenant promises. David was covenanted with Mephibosheth. Ziba comes along, tells a lie, has a couple of donkeys full of food, and David says he believed Ziba, and he basically cast Mephibosheth off to the side, even though they were covenanted to one another. Remember, there was a covenant promise with Jonathan, so that Mephibosheth was promised and covenanted to David. So for that particular beginning of chapter 16, the Christian was reminded to be more diligent in the keeping of our covenant promises. We also were reminded to follow God's word when it comes to those who bring lies to us. Remember that we were supposed to have multiple witnesses, and yet David just went right along with Ziba's false testimony. The Christian, I think, in the first part of chapter 16 is directed to Christ. Remember, we didn't find hope in David's covenant keeping. Our hope is in the great covenanter, the Lord Jesus, because he keeps his promises. We don't. And we see an example of that with David. We also saw one further thing with Ziba that I think we'll also see coming here now to Shimei, was the great damage that can happen in the church when we follow after these lines of thought. What happens when there's a Ziba in the church? A liar in the church can cause great heartache and trouble and turmoil. And when we've come into contact with those Christians who follow after these particular sins, great trouble comes upon the Christian church. In the church specifically, there are those who are pretenders, who are opportunists, who gain much from lies in the presence of God's true people. Can you see that with Ziba? He was intertwined with God's people, and he was an opportunist, and he was seeking to gain something from God's covenant people. Well, see, David should have been more careful with that. Both Ziba and Shimei, they share a lot in common. We're going to see a couple of lines of thread here. They are both cowards. They're both opportunists. And they're both seeking things from God's covenant people. And I think that's a very interesting theme to notice with the two. Now, last week we were sympathetic to Mephibosheth. And we noted, and couldn't actually get to spend a lot of time on this now that I think back, I was thinking back on it this week, but we wanted to emphasize Mephibosheth's great patience. Remember at the end of the chapter, Mephibosheth will just give him everything. Mephibosheth didn't care about the lands. He cared about the covenant. He cared about the promise. And that's something that was very admirable with Mephibosheth. One of the things we focused on by way of application last week was the ninth commandment and how important that it is in our covenant keeping. Well, whatever David did wrong, which was a lot, we focused on that. David didn't deserve what he gets here in chapter 16 with the curses of Shimei. Okay, so this will give us the opportunity now to turn and consider the third commandment and the fifth commandment. This is very disrespectful and out of line with the fifth commandment that we'll consider this week. But also consider the third commandment. Look at your handout there in your worship order. And let's review very quickly just a few of the sins forbidden in the third commandment. And I want you to see if you can see a connection with Shimei here. And I've given it away for you on the handout because I wrote 2 Samuel 16:5. So, what are the sins forbidden in the third commandment? The sins forbidden in the third commandment are the not using of God's name as it is required, and the abuse of it in an ignorant, vain, irreverent, profane, superstitious, or wicked mentioning, or otherwise using of his titles, attributes, ordinances, or works by blasphemy and vows, or by blasphemy, perjury. Okay, and then there's a bit of a pause. The third commandment here, we shift to all sinful cursings. Okay, so the first part, considering the names and the titles of God, but now all sinful cursings are forbidden by the third commandment. And it is interesting, and I always like to point these out to you, that in the larger catechism, the passage referenced here is 2 Samuel 16:5. So there's a good thing to recall to the memory, perhaps, of our children when we're reviewing the third commandment. What's an example of someone cursing in the Bible? And we go back to 2 Samuel 16. Shimei here is a perfect example of a sinful cursing. We see that here in God's Word. And so we want to be reminded then that by way of application, the third commandment's before us a couple of times here. I'm going to point out later on, Shimei takes the name of the Lord in vain, actually. Did you notice that as we were reading? He says later on that the Lord has brought all this upon you. What does Shimei know about what the Lord is doing here? You know, Shimei knows nothing about what the Lord is doing, and he uses the name of the Lord in vain. He also says, and skipping ahead a bit, but we also see that he makes a couple of proclamations that are false about what God is doing, taking the name of the Lord in vain. Okay, so let's come back to verse 5, and let's see that David is now fleeing. He see that brings him in his fleeing from Jerusalem to Bahurim in verse 5. Well, we're not surprised. Bahurim is a city of the tribe of Benjamin. See, that brings us in connection with the people of Saul here in our passage. And so Shimei is, we pointed out, a coward and someone who is an opportunist. When does Shimei choose to strike at David? Yeah, when he's kicked out of Jerusalem, when he's at his weakest. This is when cowards act, when we are at our lowest point. Later on, we'll see the character of Shimei. He doesn't rise up against David when he's powerful. No, we'll see an example actually later on in our reading where when David returns to power, Shimei comes basically on his knees before David begging for his life. Here, the character of Shimei is revealed. Now, this is an interesting thing for us to note. We've made a lot of connections in our study of the life of David with the life of Christ. Well, here, do you see the connection with Shimei and those who are the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ? Most enemies of the church, really, are the same as Shimei. All enemies of Christ, really, are cowards and opportunists. Is there anyone that would stand up in the face of the Lord Jesus if he revealed himself and his power and glory, shaking their fist and cursing? No one can. And yet we see that all of the enemies of Christ are the same as Shimei, opportunists and cowards. David's shame is revealed, verses 7 through 8. Let's turn to consider that. Now, Shimei is basically embarrassing David. I mean, how horrible is this? David's been kicked out of Jerusalem, and here comes Shimei cursing. You get the impression from the text that this is like a long, burdensome time of hearing from Shimei. He took every opportunity to curse David. Look at verse 7. Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul. We're going to see some of these things are true and some of them aren't. I want you to gauge that as we're reading. In whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Now, the scene that is before us is certainly one of shame for David. It's not a good thing to hear someone shout obscenities at you and point out your weaknesses, and especially on the worst day of your life, or one of the worst days of David's life. Shimei is insulting the king. He is describing the inferiority of David. These words that he's using here, these are not words you would use to compliment someone. These words are insulting. These words mean that David is unworthy, that he is shameful, that he is evil. So I want us to spend a couple of moments here to analyze what Shimei is saying in verses 7 and 8 to see if they're actually true. Okay, so let's spend a few moments here. Now, I suppose that what David did to Uriah, we might call him a bloodthirsty man from that perspective. In fact, if you recall Psalm 51, David prays and he confesses. He says, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God." Remember that from Psalm 51 when we sing that? So David admitted that he had shed blood with Uriah. But David had confessed the sin before God. And I want to ask you the question, do you think David was a bloodthirsty man? There are examples. You can probably remember times when David did not shed blood, when he had the opportunity to do so. Well, from the perspective of Shimei, which is going to be from the perspective of Saul, you can see that perhaps someone in that family would have thought that David was very bloodthirsty. We remember the times when David demonstrated his mercy towards Saul. Two particular occasions, David had the chance to kill Saul, but he did not spill blood when everyone told him to. So we defend David here. It was actually Saul who was the true bloodthirsty king. We'll talk about his murdering of the priests, the bloodshed that he brought upon Israel. But you see, Shimei, he might be thinking of Ishbosheth. You remember, if we go back a few weeks, maybe a couple of months now, to the first of 2 Samuel. Remember, Ishbosheth was the one that was the chosen heir of Saul against David. He was that illegitimate king. Remember, we spent a few weeks on that. Well, what happened to Ishbosheth? It was pretty bloody what happened to Ishbosheth. And remember, David didn't want to be associated with what happened to Ishbosheth, so he had those guys put to death. David's actually very careful not to be seen as a bloodthirsty man. And I think that that's kind of interesting to consider this accusation of Shimei. Whereas from the perspective, his perspective, he probably wasn't looking at the good side of David. From Shimei's perspective, he probably remembered all of the men who died in the armies of Ishbosheth and the day and David's army. Remember, they clashed and all those people that died. As they were battling for supremacy there for those few months, David was actually innocent of that blood. David didn't have anything to do with that. And in fact, he went out of his way to show that he was not a bloodthirsty man. In fact, in that particular example, David didn't try to gain the throne. Remember how he said that he would just sort of sit back and let God put him on the throne. So David did not resort to spilling blood to gain the throne. He trusted in God. So in this particular example, when Shimei says that David is bloodthirsty, that's not a very good description of David. Whatever his faults are, which we've pointed out on many, many occasions, I wouldn't say that David was a bloodthirsty man. Now next we see that Shimei calls David, in our New King James reading, a rogue. If you have the King James, you can see there that it reads, "Thou bloody man, thou man of Belial." Man of Belial. And so that's an often translated as being worthless or wicked. So one translation calls him a rogue. Another, I think, brings out more of the sense of Shimei thinking David is a wicked, godless man. And we see that that he uses a familiar term to us. Matthew Henry says the man of Belial is a child of the devil, who was called Belial in 2 Corinthians 6:15, who was a murderer from the beginning. 2 Corinthians 6:15 reads, "In what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" So I wanted you to get the sense of the stinging words of Shimei here. You know, he's not just saying you're not a good guy. He's saying you're wicked. You're of the devil. You are worthless, absolutely worthless person. These are like the strongest cursings that anyone could even utter to a king. And we see that coming from the mouth of Shimei. Well, is that true? Well, David had stumbled a lot. He had, particularly in these years, he'd made a lot of mistakes. But I wouldn't say that David was worthless. He's not a wicked man. He's an unwise man, but he's a child of God. David's a converted. He's a Christian. It's not like Saul. We always had the questions and arguments about Saul. I mean, we never could see any evidence of conversion with Saul. That's not the case with David. So basically what Shimei has said so far isn't true. I want you to note that. I want you to note those who curse the church and those who curse Christians and those who cry down all kinds of terrible things upon the church are generally liars. Now, they can point out our sin. That'll be true. I think there's one particular thing that's true in what Shimei says. We haven't gotten to it yet. We're still going through some of these things that aren't true. But David, we have seen that even in David's weakness, David is a shining light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That bothers us at times, doesn't it? Because David's a sinful man, and he does things that are wrong. But David is a type of the coming Messiah. He is given by God to his people to show the path that Christ would walk. David shows the coming mediatorial king. And by his sin, David shows us the superiority of Christ. David reminds us of the uniqueness of Christ. David shows us that no mere man could be the Savior, even the best of us. And that's a helpful thing in God's Word. But by his obedience, David shows us what Christ will someday accomplish. Now, I think, basically in the middle of verse 8, this is the most interesting part of what Shimei has to say. So look with me where it begins to say, the Lord, see there in verse 8, the Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul. Now, is that true? That's not true either. In whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. Here's again where Shimei invokes the name of the Lord in vain. That's not particularly true, as we're going to investigate these. The only thing that I think is true in what Shimei says is the last part here, where he says, so now you're caught in your own evil. That actually is true. And the Lord is allowing that to happen for the correction of David. Because, he says again, you're a bloodthirsty man, which I don't think is true. Okay, so in everything that Shimei says in his curses, he points out one particular thing that might be true, whereas the rest of the things are not. I want you to see, by way of application, that Shimei recognizes David's trouble. He sees David's in trouble, doesn't he? But he misidentifies the reason. And that's an important application for you today. When it comes to our confrontations with the world, yeah, it's not real hard for them to point out our sin. Because we're going to stumble. And we're going to make mistakes. But the people who curse us and throw stones at the church and throw stones at Christ, they don't even know the difference between right and wrong. How can they legitimately point out what we have done wrong when they don't even know what wrong is? So everything that Shimei says is basically wrong. And there's one implication that is partly true. You see, David isn't reigning in the place of Saul. That's a ridiculous way to think about David's reign. David didn't usurp anything from Saul. And David is not reaping all of the blood from Saul's house. That's not true at all. David is the blessing upon Israel. Saul was rejected by God. David was chosen by God. Shimei, he shouldn't hold up Saul as having anything to do with David's trouble. David was the correction for Saul in many ways by pointing to the Messiah. Now, Saul doesn't point us to the Messiah, but David does. Saul, in fact, was an enemy of God. Saul was an enemy of the church. Saul was a murderer of priests. He was a usurper of Samuel's authority and an antichrist in any possible way that we could imagine. Saul was a horrible, terrible, evil, wicked king. It shouldn't even be mentioned in the same sentence with David. And look at Shimei's accusation. As though in some way David usurped something wrongly or is now reaping the sins of Saul, which I don't think that Shimei would even admit. We want to see in our example here, by way again of application, that Shimei is blinded by his family. You see that? Shimei's blinded by his love for Saul. That kind of makes sense to us, doesn't it? So often the world, they see the trouble that comes into the life of the Christian, but they have no knowledge of God. They have no standard by which to understand the troubles that come upon the Christian. They see when we do something wrong and they run along beside and they throw curses and they throw rocks. They throw their stones. But they have no understanding of the law of God. They have no understanding of our troubles. They have no understanding of redemption. Even knowing that even in our troubles, the Lord Jesus is glorified and His name is exalted. They don't see that. They don't understand anything about redemption. And they don't understand about how God uses and works all things to our good and to the glory of Christ. You see, Shimei's eyes were blinded by Saul. And so those who curse Christ and curse Christians today, their eyes are blinded by Satan. Like Shimei's eyes were blinded by his love for Saul, so those today who curse the church, their eyes are blinded by the devil. And you'll notice as well, this is another thing to notice in our passage, surely Shimei has no love for Absalom. Why would Shimei like Absalom? You know, he's also reigning in the place where his family should reign. But he is glad that Absalom's on the throne. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting to see? The first psalm that I thought of when I read that, and I was meditating on that, the first psalm that I thought of was Psalm 2. I hope you thought of Psalm 2. Because Psalm 2 shows us how the world stands together against the church. How it stands together against Christ. People who hate each other will join together to curse the church. And that's what they do. That's what Psalm 2 teaches us. That those who have really nothing else in common but their hatred for the church or their hatred for Christ will join together. So Shimei is apparently glad that Absalom's on the throne. In total contradiction to his love for the house of Saul. The last thing I'd like you to notice about the words of Shimei before we move forward is that God had actually not delivered David's kingdom into the hands of Absalom. You see, this is just a temporary thing with David fleeing. David tried to get rid of the kingdom in every possible way, which is interesting from a redemptive perspective. The Lord Jesus never does that, but David does. So note then that that's also not true. The Lord had not delivered the kingdom into the hands of Absalom. Maybe for a few days, but it belongs legitimately to David because the kingdom legitimately belongs to Christ. It never belongs to Absalom. The wicked of the world, the wicked kingdoms of the world, they're never in charge. Christ reigns. And whatever temporary authority that they have, it is not because they are king. It is because Christ gives it to them for the moment. So lastly then, Shimei violates the third commandment yet again. Well, of all the similarities that we have seen in our time here between David going out of Jerusalem and Jesus going out of Jerusalem. Remember we spent some more time with that last week, crossing over the Kidron, going up the Mount of Olives, and going out of Jerusalem. You see, this is very interesting to me that David, in this particular passage, finally acts like Christ. Doesn't he? He bears the reproach. He takes the curses. But what's the difference? David kind of deserved some of this, but our Lord Jesus deserved none. There's your difference. as the Lord Jesus was cursed, as he was put all of the sin of his people upon him, none of them were his own. He took sins that were not his. David here must meekly and humbly bear some sins that are his own. Let's look at verse 9. So we see, and this causes us to chuckle a little bit here, Abishai the son of Zeruiah, he didn't want to have anything to do with this. He said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse the Lord, the king? Let me go over and take off his head." That's funny. Well, it is interesting to note that Abishai could have easily done this. David still retained some strength and authority even in exile. But note what David says. He says no. Let him curse. David wisely, I think here is where we see part of his wisdom beginning. He wisely sees the Lord's hand in the uprising of Shimei. David sees God's sovereignty. I wanted us to turn here because this particular portion of the confession also mentions 2 Samuel 16. Look to our quote here in your worship order, the Confession of Faith, chapter 5 of the Providence of God. This is one we've visited often. The almighty power, unsearchable wisdom, and infinite goodness of God so far manifest themselves in his providence, that it extendeth itself even to the first fall and all other sins of angels and men. And I thought it was so interesting that the larger catechism takes us to 2 Samuel 16:10. Well, that was an interesting reference there. We want to see the providence of God with the sins of others. We go to David's speech here, where David points out God's providence in the cursing of Shimei. And not so much by a bare permission, the confession says, but such as hath joined with it a most wise and powerful bounding, and otherwise ordering and governing of them, and a manifold dispensation to his own holy ends. I wonder, this particular example, how wise we are when the world curses the church. Are we wise as David enough to see the hand of God in such things? We see David as the keen eye of a prophet here, recognizing that God had sent Shimei to be a reminder of David's fallen nature and his sin. Shimei is used by God to be a rod of correction. That is a profound thing to notice in our text today. I ask you the question in your life. Do you think that God does the same for us? Does God allow Shimeis to come along in our lives to remind us of our sin? He does that, doesn't he? You see, God in his sovereignty allows these cowards, these usurpers, these opportunists to come along, and they may say a lot of things that aren't true. Ziba was totally a lie. What Shimei says is mostly a lie, but David had done some bad things. What do you do when someone points out your sin? When they curse you, do you want to curse back? Sometimes we get so angry with the one who would dare to point out our sin. How dare you point out that I did something wrong? I want to curse back. Isn't it interesting to see David's response? Everybody has a Shimei in their life. If you haven't had one, you will. Everybody's got a Ziba. If you haven't had a Ziba, you'll have a Ziba someday. Here we see someone who points out our sin. God uses Shimeis to be a rod of correction in our life as well, to keep us humble, to remind us of our sin. Remember, that's the thing that the church today is mostly running away from, reminders of sin. We see churches constructed around the model of never talking about sin at all, because nobody wants to hear about that. Well, certainly that we can go to a church that'll talk about sin, but I don't want somebody else pointing out my sin. See, there's something that is before us here to be very careful about how we respond to our sin being revealed. Do you think David needed to have Shimei on this journey? Probably needed to have a few humbling reminders of what he had done. God allows Shimeis also not only to remind us of our sin, but they also remind us of God's holiness. Look at the second part of our confession of faith here, beginning with "yet so." Well, I didn't put that in there, but let me read that for you. The second part of the confession of faith, you put this in your notes. "Yet so, as the sinfulness thereof proceedeth only from the creature and not from God, who being the most holy and righteous, neither is nor can be the author or approver of sin." Lots of people stumble with that particular part of our confession. Well, God uses sin in His sovereignty. He ordains it, as our confession says, but He is not the instigator of it. He is not responsible for it. We should be grateful today, my friends, for these reminders of our frailty. We should be grateful for a Shimei that arises in our life, not only for the fact that they reveal our sin, but they reveal God's holiness. If we know properly the doctrine of sin in the Bible, when we're reminded of our sin, we're reminded of the fact that Jesus didn't. We're reminded of the fact that God is holy. And so that's something that a Shimei can accomplish in our lives, to send us to the holiness of God. Now for you and I, we may be angry and vengeful towards someone who rises up in our lives to point out our sin. How often is it that we are merciful to them? That we are thankful for them? Christian, be reminded of our need for correction. Let's also be thankful that there is no Shimei that can stand up and accuse Christ. You see, our hope today is not in David's holiness. If you're trusting in David's holiness today, I have some very bad news for you. Your trust is in vain. But there is no Shimei that can stand up to Christ. No one will ever seek to point out sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can legitimately stand and point a finger at Christ. Now, many may attempt to do so. Many may seem to do so in our time. But all are liars. All are opportunists. My friends, that is our hope today, that Christ is holy and pure, that He has defeated sin and death. We've noted that Shimei was right about a few things with David, but there'll never be a Shimei that's right about Christ, because He is sinless. Now let's take the opportunity very, very quickly as we come in to close to also consider the fifth commandment in our passage. It was wrong for Shimei to curse continually and throw stones at David. This is not the right way to handle problems. When we see someone's done something wrong, we don't resort to being a Shimei. It's not the right way to do things. It's a good reminder that we are right to see the sins of our president and our congressman or our mayor or our policeman, but we're wrong to shame them, or to lie about them, or to attack them. It's not the proper way. Lastly, let's consider the larger catechism question 127. What is the honor that inferiors owe to their superiors? This is printed in your worship order here. The honor which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence at heart, word, and behavior. Reverence in heart, word, and behavior, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections, fidelity to defense and maintenance of their persons and authority, according to their several ranks and the nature of their places. Now, here's the point we want to make for this week. You should meditate upon this. bearing with their infirmities. They're not going to be perfect. And covering them in love so that they may be an honor to them and to their government. One thing is undeniable about the extended record of David's life in the Scriptures. He's a man of extremes. He's not a particularly holy man at times. Even in the middle of doing something very foolish, which we've said fleeing from Jerusalem was a foolish thing to do, even in the middle of doing something foolish, David exhibits qualities that are very admirable. I think the mercy that he shows to Shimei is an admirable thing in our passage, from one extreme to the other with David. Well, let's come in to see David's wisdom and mercy as we close. Verse 11. So David said to Abishai, he basically said, he begins to expound here. We see the wisdom of David. Let's cover this very briefly. See how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life? How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite and cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and kicked up dust. I want you to see in David's life here a wonderful picture of humility. We see before us David in verses 11 through 14. He has the power to kill Shimei. He still does, but he doesn't. He pulls back and he allows Shimei to continue on in his cursing. Now, just for our discussion, we might make the case that that's an improper response. That'd be a fun discussion. Should we allow someone to continue on in cursing the king when we could stop them? So it's interesting, there might be another level of a civil magistrate here. Is this something that we should allow? That's just for discussion. I did want us to see, though, that I do believe David is merciful here, and I think that that's a commendable thing. We have a couple of minutes left. I'd like us to go to finish off the story of Shimei, if we could do that here in a remaining couple of minutes. You remember the case of Ziba last week? There's an awkward confrontation with David when David returns to the throne. Turn quickly with me to 2 Samuel 19. Let's go ahead and read this part. 19 verse 18. Let's pick up where it begins. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, in 2 Samuel 19, 18. The son of Gera fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. So the song's a little different now. You know, now Shimei is humbled. Then he said to the king, "Do not let the Lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned." Interesting, isn't it? It kind of sounds like a legitimate confession here. "Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." Now, listen, look at what Abishai says here. Here's the other opposite opinion. Abishai said to the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" There's a question for you in your discussion about the sermon this week. Should he have been put to death? Look what David says in verse 22. "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am the king over Israel?" Therefore the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king swore to him. Now this is very interesting. I want us to, let's go ahead to 1 Kings chapter 2. I really do want to finish up Shimei, so let's go ahead to 1 Kings 2. And I want you to see how Shimei ends, because I think it's relevant to our story today. Okay, so here is then, David is basically on his deathbed, and he's basically giving some instruction to Solomon. In 1 Kings, I'm sorry, I might have said 2 Kings. 1 Kings 2, verse 8. "And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite from Baharim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, 'I will not put you to death with the sword.'" So not only was David merciful to Shimei, he's pleading for Shimei's life to the next king. This is to Solomon. Verse 9, "Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man, and I know that what you ought to do to him, but bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood." See, so David rested with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David. Okay, so here, this is an interesting trivia question for you. You want to amaze your friends. The question is, what were the last words of David? Pleading for the life of Shimei. Isn't that strange? That's the last words of David, because David dies in verse 10. The last recorded words. So here we see the end, but let's go forward in 1 Kings 2 to verse 36. Solomon has a confrontation with Shimei. We'll see how this ends, and then we'll wrap up. The king sent and called for Shimei in verse 36 of 1 Kings 2. He said, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there anywhere. For it shall be on the day that you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain that you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own hands." Verse 38, Shimei said to the king, "The saying's good. As my lord the king has said, so your servant will do." So Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Now it happened, and here you see Shimei's going to break his promise. "At the end of 3 years, the two slaves of Shimei ran away to Achish, the son of Maacah, the king of Gath, and they told Shimei, saying, 'Look, your slaves are in Gath.' So Shimei arose, saddled his donkey, went to Achish to Gath to seek his slaves. Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath." Verse 41, "And Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had come back." What do you think Solomon's going to do to Shimei? Verse 42, "Then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, 'Did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, saying, know for certain that on the day that you go out and travel anywhere, you shall surely die? And you said to me, the word that I have heard is good.'" So Solomon reminds Shimei of his promise. Verse 43, "Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I gave to you?" The king said moreover to Shimei, "You know, as your heart acknowledges, all the wickedness that you did to my father David. Therefore the Lord will return your wickedness on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Now forgive all the reading there, but I wanted you to see the end of Shimei. He was not an honorable man. He was an opportunist. He was a liar. And Solomon found out the sin of Shimei. Well, the Bible is not a record of the holiness of David. The Bible is a record of God's redemption of his people and of the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It describes the holiness of God and the work of Christ upon the cross for his people. If you're here today and you don't know this precious Christ that we've mentioned, you may not realize it, but you are a Shimei to God. You stand cursing him. You stand cursing Christ and throwing rocks at Christ. If you stand against Christ, you are his enemy. The call today is to come to Christ. Whatever fault that you may have imagined in Christ is a lie. He is holy and just and perfect. The only way of salvation for sinners today, seek the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Christian, who stands before you cursing today? Who is the Shimei in your life? What forces are standing against you in your service to Christ? Are you wise enough to acknowledge your sinfulness in the presence of these curses? Are you wise enough to see the sovereignty of God when you are cursed by the world? Are you merciful to those who would curse you? Let's allow these curses to remind us of our fallen nature. And let's allow these curses to remind us of the holiness of Christ. Let's stand together and pray. Father in heaven, grant that we might be meek and merciful to our enemies. Grant that we would be continually reminded of our sin and their curses and the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would direct us to Christ in 2 Samuel 16, and that we would be a merciful people as David shows mercy to Shimei. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.